Everybody, welcome back to S&P Now. This is episode 53 for July 1. Josh, who's sponsoring us today?
This week's episode is brought to you by Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low. Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who is connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. She's your best friend in real estate.
My mic is on a weird setting.
Your mic is on a weird setting?
Yeah, there we go. Well, that's better.
It's all right.
It was on the one that looks like an 8. I don't even know what that is.
Is it an infinity symbol instead of an 8?
Yeah.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
Infinity sound?
I like when they do that symbol with snakes eating each other.
Does that mean something?
I don't know.
Is there some symbolism there?
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. We'll do a little deep Googling later.
But... Okay. I think I saw that on Harry Potter once.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Josh. Hey, Monica.
Hey, Chance. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
So good.
I mean, it's so early.
So happy to be here.
COVID's back with a vengeance. COVID-20 has arrived.
COVID-20?
That's what we call the new COVID.
I was going to go with Revenge of the COVID.
COVID Redux?
Mine was more of a Star Wars reference, but yeah.
I know.
Okay.
Not everything's Star Wars, Chance.
It doesn't have to be, no, but... What is it?
The
Wrath of COVID. Thank you.
Back to the COVID.
Oh, okay.
Back to the COVID.
Okay. Back
Once
to the
COVID.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Take it back. Cut that out.
Back to the COVID 3. The Cowboy COVID.
What about the God COVID?
Godfather. I was trying to think of that. And I was like, Godfather 2 is just called Godfather 2. Yeah. I don't think it has a.
Yeah.
The COVID Father Part 3.
Bill and Ted's COVID Adventure.
Oh.
Oh, dang.
Okay.
We can really get into this. The Land Before COVID.
Memoirs of a COVID.
Are those? Ooh. Are those sequels?
Diaries of a Teenage COVID.
Oh, I definitely dropped the sequel thing. I was just shouting out movie titles.
Let's just do it.
COVID New Moon.
Saving Private COVID.
Oh. I think I just knocked it out of the park right there.
I like that one. The COVID games.
Was New Moon the second one? Because I'm gonna get chastised if
it
wasn't.
Second one. Good job.
We're gonna. Oh, okay. Thank you. So we're gonna have Twilight fans just like, that's the third one.
No, the third one is.
No one likes the second one because
Breaking Dawn.
Truly. Yeah. And is there a fourth one?
No, they just made 4 movies, right?
There's 4 or 5. No, I think there's 5 movies. There's 3, and then they split the fourth book into 2 parts.
Twilight, Breaking Dawn.
Yep. No, New Moon.
New Moon,
Breaking Dawn, yep. And then... Oh, dear.
Maybe it is 4 movies.
The Twilight Saga.
Oh, I called it series. I'm stupid. No, Eclipse.
Oh, Eclipse. Mm. That's right.
So Eclipse comes before... Well, I don't know.
See, we're not at COVID Eclipse yet.
No. No, we haven't gotten there yet.
It's just a sequel.
Oh, there is a...
Is this COVID going to be like The Godfather 2, or is it going to be more like Transformers?
I like Transformers, especially number 2.
Oh, it's the worst one.
So there's a Twilight parody movie called Breaking Wind that I just discovered on Google Play.
I'm sure there's a lot of parodies,
and
Josh.
Now I am... I care about nothing else.
Okay.
They did all the... porn parodies.
Mm.
I'm not going to say the names of them because it's inappropriate and we can only curse one time on the podcast.
Right, you can't ruin, you can't burn it.
The names are hilarious, like, of the porns.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'll say we can't burn our only cuss word in the first 5 minutes.
No, I won't do that. I won't do that.
No, last week the cuss word was taken by the drummer of Severewood.
Yes.
He just kind of dropped it on us.
He did. Speaking of COVID, I'm going to pull up, let's get that out of the way real quick here first. Panhandle Health District, they usually reported at noon, so this is as of yesterday, but we are at 285 confirmed cases.
Of 120, some of which are not being monitored.
121 are no longer being monitored. So there's 164 active.
Is it like in our district?
The 5 northern counties.
Got it.
5 northern counties.
I was just making sure.
Shoshone County, last man standing.
Holding it down at 0, guys.
We are at 0.
Healthy.
I mean, officially.
You want to know why? I saw the lead poisoning. It's like we're immune to the COVID.
No, it's the...
Don't be saying that. Now some... people are going to be like taking that to heart and be like taking lead supplements to
fight the COVID. I'm going to paraphrase our president. The less testing we do, the better. The less testing, the lower the number of positive tests.
I mean, it's worked for us.
Yeah, we have embraced that strategy, and quite frankly,
and that's not even on our hospital. Like our people here are just like, yeah, I'm not gonna go get
tested. I have a fever. I'm gonna take some Tylenol.
I'm gonna get over it. I'm not a wuss.
Some amoxicillin from Mexico that my dad got me.
You mean amoxicillin? Oh. Come on.
That was pretty good.
That was really sharp for 8:37.
That was pretty good.
So you got yourself some amoxicillin.
I doubt that it meets ADA requirements, though.
I don't know. I feel great. I don't have COVID.
There you go.
So take that.
Can't remember what happened yesterday, but I don't have COVID.
Fun fact, amoxicillin, it's just tequila.
It's just tequila.
Monica's like, no, I hope not.
No. Tequila with the salt already added.
Oh. Now that is a business idea.
Oh God. Oh. That sounds terrible.
Okay, so as of yesterday, so that would be June 29th, Kootenai County is at 229 cases with 135 active and one death. Benoit, 13 cases, 3 active. Bonner, 29, 22. Boundary, 1. And active, 0. It sounds like it was just like a person traveling or something.
Someone stopping by to say hi?
Something like that. Just to drop some COVID off and heading out.
Honey, I shrunk the COVIDs.
What's that?
I would prefer, honey, I blew up the COVID.
Yes!
But, I mean, because I don't think we could shrink it any more than it's already been shrunk, right?
I don't think so. The viruses are pretty small. Undetermined 13 cases, and 4 of those are active.
So, you know this is what we're going to do the whole rest of this episode.
I know.
We're going to be talking about news stories, and it's going to be
someone's just
really missing the mark on the sequels. I will get you the first movie, but I need you to come in with the sequel. I feel like that's how we're doing this.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. I'll give you the assist. That's a basketball thing, right?
Yes.
You can relate on that?
I can
speak in your language?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll assist you with the titles. You give me the sequels.
Beautiful. Yeah.
What else are we talking about besides COVID?
We can jump into our Friday, June 26th headlines.
Yeah,
let's do that. I did read that newspaper.
Okay. And so the other one hasn't come out yet.
And I have not read that one.
No. That's okay. we might get that email while we're talking about this.
We're going to skip the headline story on Friday because we're going to encompass it all in our Tuesday.
In the next one. Okay, yeah. That sounds good. So let's go to Silver Bridge Weight Limit Reduced. Josh has written a story about this before.
I actually wrote the first story when they did the first reduction.
So we've written at least 2 on this, right?
Yeah, last summer.
Talking about how the weight reduction's gone down. So for those unfamiliar, the Silver Bridge is the one that spans the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River that connects Albert's Landing and...
It's basically the Old River Road? Yeah, it's the quick way to Old River Road.
In the heart of downtown Enoville.
Yes.
The bustling... Metropolis
of downtown Enoville. But the bridge is pretty historical. I think I was told that it's been there since the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Batman and COVID. Sorry.
It's not.
The dark COVID rises.
Batman versus COVID.
Oh, this is the best podcast I've done so far.
Okay.
Okay, so back in 1930, but it was expected to have a 50-year lifespan, which I'm not great at math.
But we're definitely past the expiration date of this bridge.
You know, here in Idaho, we don't fix our bridges until they're, what are the rating on 1 to 100? We get to, like, single digits before we start taking this.
Legitimately, though, that was what the Pine Creek Bridge was at, yeah.
It's like a 0?
Well, technically they're not bridges, but I guess, like, the culverts out at... Smelterville, right?
Mm-hmm.
The road was sinking in.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take care of it, guys. We got it.
Sixth Street Bridge.
There we go.
It's not a problem until it's a problem.
Right.
So the Silver Bridge, ITD, is responsible for checking out all of these bridges and making sure that they're steady and they can hold up stuff. They did an inspection on it on June 2nd, I believe, if my memory serves, and they found that the bridge is... Well, it's not doing great. To put in perspective, there's a family of woodpeckers that have made a home inside one of the support beams.
Is that why it's weak?
One of the reasons.
Yeah. Turbines probably too, huh?
I'm sure they're great.
Down there just picking away at it.
So any animal rights people, they need to save those woodpeckers.
Chain yourself to the Silver Bridge.
No, stop.
How many people can we put 3 tons? How many people make 3 tons?
Well, we're going to get to that in a second here.
Uh-oh.
Actually, I didn't say
how many. Why don't you shut your mouth, let this guy finish, all right?
So we're at... So the bridge has been lowered now after ITD said that the county needs to put a weight limit, lower the weight limit to their... So it's now at the lowest limit next to closing the bridge, mm-hmm. which is 3 tons or 6,000 pounds. To put that in perspective, let me flip to the back here. To put that in perspective, 3-ton load looks a new 2020 four-door Chevy Silverado LT Trail Boss with no added weight such as gear or occupants. Weighs in at 5,105 pounds.
So you can just...
So that gets under it with nut... Like, that is a cherry, vanilla...
So 3 tons, for those of you who don't know, is 6,000 pounds.
I said that.
Okay.
I said that right before.
But in case you forgot, just in that little bit there.
Yeah. A four-door 2020 Subaru Outback is 3,730 pounds. So that one's okay.
No one's taking an empty Subaru up the river, though. If you take your Subaru, it's loaded to the gills.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, okay. Bridge itself constructed in 1930, 50-year lifespan. Certainly exceeded that. Let's see here. So, wow, that was good right off the top of my head. okay. So they're, so the ITD has their own rating system. It's on a scale from 0 to 9. This bridge is at 2.
Yes.
So
just above. I mean, we're pulling like a C minus here.
Right.
So you have probably a little bit of insight into this bridge, huh?
I don't. This is actually Public Works. Jim Kaysen works across the hall from us.
So I did speak with Jim Kaysen, and the plan is to shut the bridge down on both sides on July 6th after the 4th of July holiday. So it's got...
Really test that.
Really, trip. Really got a good 4th of July crowd over.
And run it into the ground.
No, it's... He's hoping that somebody...
The biggest risk weekend we can have. We're going to wait till that one's over.
No, it's because he doesn't want to deal with the traffic.
Bridge
of going
over the river COVID?
Yeah.
COVID orange. I like this. I know it's not funny because, you know, it's a serious thing that this bridge is falling apart, but you talk to somebody, the public information officer, ITD, Chance, and I like this quote that says, it is well documented that this bridge has been fully decaying.
Yeah,
like that's pretty harsh.
She made it very clear, like, this should, like, it was, so I didn't directly quote her on this one, but Saucer states that the recent load downgrade should not have been a surprise to anyone at the county.
Yeah.
Like, this, that was like, I mean, it's almost a direct shot of, like, you are purposely making this bridge bad, so you have to do something about it, kind of thing. The bridge will be, I mean, it's getting a temporary fix, it sounds like. Some of the support beams and bad wood is going to be replaced. Should be a week-long process, but in the meantime, they're trying to get the county's trying to secure some money to hopefully replace the bridge fully in the future. That's going to be a long and tedious process, from what I learned about replacing bridges when I was writing the Pine Creek Bridge story. This can take a long time. At the moment, we'll see. The county certainly doesn't have $3 million price tag it's going to cost to $8 million to fix the bridge, to replace the bridge. So
bridges are expensive.
Yeah, it's bad. Hopefully, Kaysen says that hopefully with the new fixes, they'll be able to get it to 4 tons per axle or 16,000 pounds.
We should just knock the bridge out and have a little
zip line,
a little ferry.
Oh, okay.
Just drives people to and fro.
Yeah.
To Albert's Landing.
I think the ferry would take up the width of the river, though.
It's not really wide.
Very short ferry ride.
I.e. a bridge. Like, it would just end up being
It'd just be a bridge.
So a floating bridge.
It just gets stuck, and then that's the bridge.
Yeah. Arguably would be really cool.
And then when it floods.
Keep it on some...
Okay.
That's fine.
last thing on this is just a warning to everybody. You know, vehicles by themselves are generally okay, but Kaysen warns that people can inadvertently exceed the weight limit because when they take their giant campers over or mobile homes or something like that, it easily surpasses the 3-ton weight limit.
You don't say. But you do mention in here, though, that they have an alternate. I mean, you can cross up by Bumblebee.
Yes, yeah. You can drive up to Bumblebee. One thing that is, for any listeners that live up on the old road or, you know, need the use of this bridge on a constant basis, because of this downgrade, Shoshone County Fire District Number 2 can no longer take ambulances across this bridge. They already couldn't do fire trucks.
Did you write that in here?
I think I might have mentioned emergency. Yes, fire trucks or ambulances and heavy equipment. So no longer can they. So if you have to have an emergency, they're going to have to drive all the way down to Bumblebee and come back up on the old road.
You better just drag yourself to the end of that bridge and just wait for them.
Just wait for the ferry.
Yes.
Check the ferry schedule before you get hurt, guys.
Riverman, take me to the other side.
They're playing like Silverwind music, like dun 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 dun.
Bridge over the river, COVID.
That was.
Oh, did she say that already?
Yeah.
Hello.
I was, because I looked at that, and that's his favorite movie.
Oh, I didn't even.
Bridge Over the River Kwai is Ron Swanson's favorite movie.
I got 3 minutes. What are we talking about next?
Okay, sorry. Harry Potter,
Harry Potter and the Chamber of COVID.
Oh! Isn't that the first one?
That's the second one.
Oh, is it? Okay, all right. Not bad.
Because Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's COVID sounds bad.
That does sound bad. Okay, and I see Silver Valley Bonner's Ferry Center is to close. We kind of talked about this in the regionals last week. But the Silver Valley Center, as of, well, I mean, essentially now, they are now closed. They will not be open for the fall semester. They'll be consolidating efforts with NIC Coeur d'Alene and transferring to more digital products. The Bonner's Ferry Center is also going to meet the same fate, but they will be able to finish out their fall semester at the end of the year, unlike the Silver Valley Center that is... I think they're done.
So they're just going everything online.
They're going to do everything online, and if you have to have any in-person classes, you're driving to Coeur d'Alene.
Well, I mean, truthfully, it's kind of the norm now, yeah?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I think the NIC Silver Valley Center was very underutilized. I think that a lot of, I mean, you know, back when we were growing up, it was kind of cool. Like, you could maybe take a college. You all right?
Yeah. I thought my nose started to bleed.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. You get that feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get thought I had it.
You know, back when we were, you know, you maybe take a college course and maybe get some college credit while you're in high school. Kids nowadays can basically graduate high school with an associate's degree.
At minimum.
If not more.
Yeah.
So, you know, places like this were definitely helpful for dual credit students and whatnot. And now that that's gone, that might make things a little more difficult for them, which is my main concern.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I agree.
All right. What do you got on the side, Josh?
Market organizers pull plug on event. So basically, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. The really popular community market, also known as a farmer's market, if that's what you want to call it, that's been in Kellogg the last couple of years, had to, it was canceled for the year. Lots of issues, obviously all of them surrounding the COVID situation.
Right.
COVID to electric boogaloo.
Big fan. So the organizers, they had a couple options, move the market, different venue, different location, but then they had to talk to the vendors themselves. So between not being able to lock down a very specific location, as well as not having a ton of vendor interest, one, because there'd be really steep regulations on the vendors, things like gloves and masks, which when you're outside at a farmer's market in the dead of summer, having the mask on is brutal. My wife and I do a farmer's market over in Spokane Valley, and man, those days when it's hot, it's rough. And then, you know, just that entire situation, not having the stability of a set location every week. And, you know, it takes a lot for a lot of these vendors to mobilize.
Mm-hmm.
To come to these events, and if you don't know whether or not the attendance is going to be very good, it can be a little disheartening when you're, you know, setting up not knowing just how well people are going to show up.
Yep.
So they kind of called it there. I'm trying to think anything else really. I know Sarah Murphy, who was the event organizer, is trying to organize a couple like smaller pop-up events.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying really, really hard. I'm not on, I'm on the chamber board, but I'm not on the market committee, but they tried really, really, really hard to put it together.
We had a small we had a small outcry of people on Facebook that were like, move it. Yeah. Put it somewhere else.
Well, they tried.
There's just so much.
I know. It's they need to understand. Let's make that clear. It's not like a. It's not like this can happen in another place.
Yeah, COVID. COVID didn't officially kill this one. COVID just shifted the way they had to do it.
Like because, tip the scales.
Yeah, the city of Kellogg wasn't interested in letting them use their park. Mm-hmm. We've talked ad nauseum, mm-hmm. about the city of Kellogg being a little bit more conservative in their
more cautious.
Cautious in what they're letting their facilities be used for. Mm-hmm. And this was another situation. So they thought about moving it, and they probably could have. I know they had pretty much secured, like, the VFW here in Osborne, the VFW parking lot, but...
Then that fell through, too.
Well, no. Vendors weren't as interested in the event, one, because of the restrictions, two, because of not knowing how many people would actually show up. And then it wasn't like an every week thing. This was
It's not insulting. It's just there's just not as much foot traffic and
it's gravel
and literal traffic coming through.
One of the cool things, our farmers market has
the Kellogg farmers market.
Yeah, well, the our community market.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
It's the Silver Valley Wallace community market. Wallace does their own too. I don't think it's called the Kellogg community market. Silver Valley community market. The beer and music. Mm. And, you know, if some of those things get taken away, then it's just a pop-up, like, vendor thing, and it's not the same, it's not the same aesthetic.
You gotta have it all. Like, if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it right. Yeah. And that's how they, the chamber tries to do everything. It's like they do it wholeheartedly, and if, I mean, you know, sometimes you can scrape it together, and sometimes you can make something out of it, and they're gonna do a couple pop-ups, but, like, if you're not gonna do the thing, what's the point?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You gotta make it worth everybody's time, including the public's. So.
Yeah, the pop-up market, they're also going to try to put together their annual cornhole tournament.
Okay.
So there are some events that they're going to try to put on, and we'll let people know when those happen. But, you know, it's just another one of those things that we're going to have to just postpone for a year.
Yep.
So,
real quick, SMP Now Podcast, 1 year.
Happy birthday.
Go us.
Yes.
SMP Now Podcast.
Officially 1 year. I mean.
Yes.
Last year or last week was our 52nd episode, so it was our big...
Very cool to have Severe Wood in.
Yes.
Thanks again for coming in, guys.
This week is actually the anniversary of the first recording and publishing when we did... we had the 4th of July.
That's right.
With
Mallory and Nathan,
yep. Former chamber director Mallory Phillips and her...
Brainy Bow?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. Who was also on the 4th of July committee and the Farmers Market or Community Market Committee and Nathan. So
he's a photographer as well.
And a physical therapist. A doctor of physical therapy. Mm. I didn't know that was a thing.
Tara Lodi is a doctor of physical therapy.
I didn't know that you could like get that level, but
Dr. President Tara Lodi.
Yes. Dr. President Tara Lodi.
Dr. President, I like that.
President Dr. Tara Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Beautiful.
Independence COVID.
There's no
Independence
sequel.
COVID, although there was that really terrible Independence Day sequel.
Oh, there was, yeah, that didn't have Will Smith in it, I don't know what they were thinking.
What a terrible movie.
How about From Russia with COVID?
Ooh, Dr. COVID.
That's the first Bond.
I know, I'm just
throwing out there. Okay, all right.
I like that.
Captain America, the Winter COVID.
But wasn't the second one Civil War?
No.
No, that's
the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Avengers. COVID war.
Don't we have an ad?
I mean, we do.
Spider-Man Far From COVID.
I like that one a lot. And that one actually took place predominantly in Europe. So
Too soon,
maybe. Hey, if you're looking for a refreshing, locally made beer, check out Radio Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. Their craft beer is complemented with quality, creative, and rustic food, and they've added some new items to the menu. They love everything about beer, studying it, making it, and most definitely drinking it. They're open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. through 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. Radio Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole.
Whoa, and just like that, Monica's gone.
Oh, she vanished.
She just vanished right before our very eyes.
Almost like a Nightmare on COVID Street situation.
Friday the COVID? COVID the 13th.
COVID the
13th. There we go.
COVID the 13th.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
I like that. Okay. Jumping into Tuesday's headlines, we still haven't received our tear sheets, nor do I have a hard copy of the paper, so we're just going to go off of what we wrote. Headline on this, SCSO holds drug enforcement emphasis. For those unfamiliar, SCSO, Shoshone County Sheriff's Office. I got to speak with Sheriff Mike Gunderson and Lieutenant Jeff Lee about this story. This is the second emphasis that the Shoshone County Sheriff's Office has held this year. The first one being on Memorial Day weekend, had an emphasis on parties and DUIs. This one, on the other hand, was a West End emphasis, specifically targeting drugs. So basically, let's see here. Participating agencies were SCSO, Osborne Police Department, Idaho State Police, Idaho Fish and Game, U.S. Forest Service, and the Bureau of Land Management were all involved. Basically, specifically looking in areas from Cataldo to Kellogg, heavy presence, I'm sure people noticed, in Smelterville and Pinehurst. Along with these deputies, they had both canines, drug enforcement canines for the Shoshone County Sheriff's Office. That would be Deputy Lulu and Deputy Midnight. Great names for our drug detection canines. I love those. So the emphasis was held last Friday, going from 5 to 11 p.m. During that time, law enforcement made 48 traffic stops and needed canine deployments on 10 of them. Of those 10 canine deployments, 6 of them yielded positive results, indicating the presence of illegal substances. When all was said and done, the night yielded 9 arrests, 4 for felony drug charges, 2 for felony warrants, and 1 for DUI, and two for misdemeanor drug charges. With the arrests also came multiple seizures of various amounts of illegal drugs, such as heroin, methamphetamine, miscellaneous prescription pills, and marijuana.
Marijuana.
Marijuana. You got to say it like Hank Hill from
Hank Hill.
The marijuana. Mike Gunderson stressed that a lot of these people that were arrested are no strangers to the legal system, or even more specifically, the Shoshone County Jail. They've been picked up on multiple drug infractions before. In fact, after going through the jail bookings, a lot of them were not just hit for use and possession, but also trafficking or distribution. So a couple local dealers right there that have been through the system before. Let's see here. Anything else?
Just tweakers doing tweaker things.
Basically, yeah, essentially. Essentially.
Oh, man. You silly, silly, silly.
So what makes these emphasi, yeah. I like.
We've done this before.
We always do this, and I always like saying emphasi because it's fun. But it's actually emphases, but I prefer emphasi. The thing to these operations is that it allows deputies to focus on a specific task in a specific area and not have to be distracted with taking other calls. So like while, you know, say Deputy Abshire with Lulu is in Smelterville working drugs, you know, trying to find that kind of thing.
Right.
He won't be called away during that 6-hour gap, you know, to go handle a domestic in Mullen or something like that. Right. He is dedicated to that area working on this specific task. So that helps them focus on even if it's just for 6 hours, they accomplished a great deal.
Right.
And it's kind of a big thing. One of Gunderson's quotes was that we just want to make sure that we're getting out there and the public sees us picking out certain areas in these communities that we get complaints for. It's more of a community action response in trying to take the drugs off the streets. So, I mean, anybody who's spent any decent amount of time in the Silver Valley knows that we certainly have a drug problem here. And operations like this certainly go a long way into fixing that.
Just a little bit of druggies, you know.
Yep. If you're curious on the individual, it wasn't because I was trying to take special precautions or anything. But the number of people that were arrested were way too long. The list would be if I typed them out. And frankly, it's already typed out on our jail bookings. So if you're curious about who was arrested those nights, you can check out the jail bookings for June 25th to 28th on ShoshoneNewsPress.com or in the June 30th print edition.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Center of the page, ambulance district story. And I headlined this bad mamma jamma. Resolution signed, district name, planning for the future.
I think the center of the page was the pool.
Oh, well. It's in there somewhere.
Okay.
On our budget list. That was
next story, ambulance district. Yes.
So we didn't actually talk about this when we talked about our Friday headlines because I figured I'd blend them together. So last week, the Board of County Commissioners voted in favor of the creation of an ambulance district. So after months of meetings and things of that nature, and then finally the public hearing that was 2 weeks ago, the commissioners took all the information they had and they made the commissioner decision unanimously to create an ambulance district. Now, from there, what they had to do was they had to get with Shoshone County's legal department, so County Prosecuting Attorney Keisha Oxendine, to help them craft the resolution that would be signed, which would effectively put this district into, put it into creation, officially create it, officially make it law kind of thing. And so they did that Monday morning. They signed the resolution officially creating the Shoshone County Ambulance Service District.
I like that name.
Yeah, it's a girthy name, but, you know, it will definitely...
You said there was a story behind this specific name.
There is a story behind it, and I need to find it and track it down, but like Shoshone County or Shoshone County EMS was such a broad spectrum term because people would be like, yeah, Shoshone County EMS showed up to help someone on scene. Well, no, that usually wasn't the case. Usually it was Fire District 1,
mm-hmm.
Shoshone County Fire District 1 or Shoshone County Fire District number 2. So calling this Shoshone County Ambulance Service District, all of our fire districts will now operate under the purview of this ambulance district, but will still remain autonomous. But the name will not be confused like it was before when it was Shoshone County EMS,
uh-huh.
which seems like a pretty broad strokes. It's too general.
Right.
This one is very specific. This is an ambulance service district. So what has happened is with the creation of this ambulance district, the commissioners now are moving into a place where they're looking to appoint the people to the board of directors because uh-huh. this district will have its own board.
Uh-huh.
These directors will do things like, let me see here. Let me pull it up. They will be building it from the ground up which will include, come on now. Why is it?
Gotcha. Are you having computer problems?
Okay. No. I was having find it in the story.
Oh, gotcha.
Because the way that our website format stories makes things so big.
Mm-hmm.
The font is so big. If you're a heart of a site,
yes,
you will love our website.
It's good stuff.
You will love reading our stories online. The ambulance district will handle programs like figuring out the programs and licensures. It will handle contracts, billings, collections, overall budgeting. Here we go. Finding the other stuff too.
Oh, okay.
Operations and oversight of the district, as well as the big one here, maintaining the district's fiscal accountability.
Okay.
The reason this whole situation happened was because the Shoshone County EMS Corporation, which was formerly currently still is and will formerly be the old entity that kind of handled all of these things for the county, had some issues with people not paying their bills. Now, that's not to say that won't happen under this new corporation, but this new corporation really, or that old, the old corporation had no real authority other than to just send them to collections.
Sure.
Part
of the reason why they had money problems.
Yeah, right. People not paying their bills. So now this will be a publicly funded entity. It will have a board of directors, fiscal oversight, just all the accountability things that I won't say they were lacking, but they just weren't quite there because the county was having to work with a corporation, which is one of the things that, I mean, if you ask any public employee, they'll tell you that the last thing in the world is a county should be working with some corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a positive, especially according to BOCC Chairman Mike Fitzgerald. His direct quote, passing the resolution to create the Shoshone County Ambulance Service District is viewed as a logical and positive step forward. The step shifts the administration decision-making and accountability to a board that is solely dedicated to and focused on our community's community's ambulance services. The transition from the county to the ambulance services district will require some heavy lifting, involving much work such as transitioning administrations, contracts, billings, collections, equipment, and overall budgeting. Like I said before, the BOCC is looking for people who want to be board members. So they're asking that you, if you're interested in being a part of this ambulance district board, that you contact the county commissioners, and I'm sure they're going to take all the names into consideration. I'm not sure how they're necessarily appointing people. As far as an official dollar number.
First question, can you spell ambulance? And if you can't, then you're out.
I mean, that could be tough.
That's part of it. I think so.
As far as the, since I said it's publicly funded, as far as the money official dollar amount per year goes, mm-hmm. Nothing has been officially set, but the number $130,000 has been tossed around on more than one occasion. Okay. Both as what the starting point 5 years ago when the county started levying monies for the EMS Corp, it was right around 125. They had shaved it back to $86,600 this year, but with the ambulance district EMS Corp asking for more money for the next 4 months to continue to operate, it's going to be right in that same $125,000,
$130,000
mark. Gotcha. So that's kind of what's going on there. We're going to continue to follow this. So if you're tired of reading about the ambulance district, too bad, because it's important. It's a taxing entity in our community, and people do need to be aware. People do like the service our local first responders provide.
Yep.
And if you want good first responders, you got to take care of them, and this is a good step in the direction of taking care of our first responders.
Absolutely. All right. Tell me about the Kellogg Pool.
Oh, the Kellogg Pool's opening.
What?
So as you're listening to this, it'll be tomorrow, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The pool will be opening 11 to 5.
Okay.
Daily.
Okay.
Monday through Saturday.
Yep.
And then from 5 to 6, we'll be open for adult free swimming for adults, not adult free swimming, because that sounds...
Yeah. Like, for some reason, that sounds weird.
Like a movie store that's for adults only is different than an adult movie store.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like no unaccompanied minors.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
So adult swimming sounds bad.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
And it's our second adult themed.
Yeah, what's going on with?
Yeah, we were talking about
head out of your gutter.
Oh, get, it was. Yeah. We were talking about Twilight parodies earlier.
Yes, I did start that. Yeah. All right.
So I talked to Kellogg City Superintendent Craig Lewis yesterday. He was filling up the pool, which it's actually kind of crazy how it fills up. So the pool has these little vents on the side
mm-hmm.
that I thought were part of like their filtration system. And they probably are, but they were just slowly trickling water into the pool.
Okay.
Just very, 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 very slowly. And I'm like, is that how you fill the pool up? And Kirk was like, yeah. And I was like, how long does that take? He said anywhere from 12 to 14 hours. But he turns it on one night when he's leaving, and then he'll come back the next day and it's basically full.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of blown away at this. I'm going to check it out when I drive by because it was about 3 o'clock. It was about 3 o'clock yesterday when I talked to him. So if I get there about noon, it'll be much later than 12 to 14 hours, but I want to see just how full it is.
Mm.
It's a very slow leak, but apparently that's enough to fill up the pool.
All right.
The pool is going to open. There's going to be obviously, I mean, much like,
is it free?
It is free. It is free to the public.
Right.
They are asking that it be kind of kept locals only.
Okay.
But, I mean, how are they really going to check that?
Right.
They do have some COVID protocol. So we'll run through that real quick. It's only 50 people allowed inside the fenced area at a time.
Okay.
2-hour increments, not including the pool staff. So that means if you are in the pool area, but you're sitting on the side, you're one of 50.
Okay.
So if you have a bunch of moms who take their kids to the pool and 25 kids and 25 moms go and those moms don't get in the water, only 25 people will be in the water.
A lot of people outside the gate looking like the Wolverines from Red Dawn.
Yeah. So, moms, if you're taking your kids to the pool, drop them off and go sit on the side outside the fence.
Okay.
So that
there you go.
More people can be in there.
There you go.
Everyone who goes in will have their temperature checked as they go through the door. Swimmers must come pool ready. The dressing and locker rooms will be closed. The pool office will not hold on to any of the swimmers' personal items. So historically, you could take your phone, your watch, your wallet,
check those,
put it in a bag, and they would take it in the office. They're not doing that.
Okay.
So you bring what you bring, and it sits on the side. So if you don't want your phone sitting 6 feet away from the pool, don't bring it, or leave it in your car.
Right.
Chairs. The pool historically had like some beach chairs, lounge chairs around it. Those will not be in there. Parents who come into the pool can bring their own chair, there won't be any provided. So if you don't bring one, you're either sitting on the edge of the pool in the cement, or you got to go outside and sit in the grass. There will be restrooms available for people to use.
Good.
There's two little restrooms there. The kiddie pool will be open as well.
That's good.
There will be no swimming lessons this year.
Oh.
So, and then outside of that, 6 foot social distancing measures, both in the pool and outside of it, should be observed. So okay. Very basic. Mr. Lewis, you know, he kind of talked. Obviously, here's a quote from him. Obviously, we're going to have to plan as we go along with this. But like everyone has heard with everything this year, please stay home if you're feeling sick. We are going to work in 2-hour increments. But if there aren't people waiting to get in, folks will be able to stay in longer. If there's not a line of people outside, you know, it might not just be 2 hours, but that's kind of how they're working with it. There is a little bit of a, you know, Lewis kind of fought for this. There were some city officials or powers that be who weren't necessarily on board with opening the pool up. But, you know, a direct quote from Lewis, we needed to give these kids something to do this summer. It's important for them to have something.
Cool.
With all the things that have been taken away. I mean, they didn't have a playground for the entirety of spring and the first part of the summer. The playground's coming back, but even with COVID things getting a little bit worse, don't be surprised to see that tighten up. Getting the pool is a big deal, and it being free is another big deal. So like I said, pool opens this Thursday, and then it will be Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5, free for people to use. And then adult open swim, or open swim for adults only, from 5 to 6. If you need any more information, call the pool, 208-786-9131.
Perfect. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's COVID.
Ooh. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's COVID. Curse of the Black COVID.
Oh, Black COVID. Oh, that's like a Black Death reference.
Curse of the COVID Pearl. Ooh. I mean, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
I like that one.
I do. That's a good one.
At World's COVID?
At World's COVID.
COVID's End?
COVID's End. I wish.
I was going to say that could be the end of it. That
one sounds like a happy story.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay.
Quickly tell me about Statehood Day.
Quickly. So the annual Statehood Day Parade, which is held in Wallace every year on July 3rd, mm-hmm. Which is the day Idaho declared for its statehood.
Okay.
The parade that they have in Wallace every year was canceled a few weeks ago. That information wasn't really made super public other than a couple Facebook posts.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to talk to one of the organizers for that. And I don't want to butcher her name, but I believe her name is Rayma Shields. She wanted us to tell kind of a little story here. Not so much about the parade being canceled, but that she believes Idaho's Statehood Day should still be celebrated. Even if there's not going to be a parade, 2020 would have marked Idaho's 130th birthday. So kind of a milestone birthday, you know, it's not like 125 or 150, but anytime you got a zero at the end of there, mm-hmm. it tends to be a big one. So 130 years ago, Idaho, or 130 years ago, July 3rd, Idaho, officially became a state. Rayma believes that one of the things that we can do to celebrate Statehood Day is get yourself an Idaho state flag and fly that bad boy proudly They can be purchased in all sorts of places. I mean, a quick online search, you could probably get one from Amazon and have it Amazon Prime to your door in 2 days. But she thinks you should just get a state flag and celebrate your great state. That's so nice. You know, the Wall Statehood Day Parade is always a nice one. You know, it's two laps around the block, and a lot of people come out for it. And you know, it happens to be on the eve of Independence Day. So they're not, it's one of those things. I think Wallace does this one really well. As the county seat, I think it's important for them to celebrate it most of all. But, you know, they don't try to make this like a huge thing, but they do Statehood Day right every year.
Okay.
With a nice 20, 30 minute parade. People come out. And usually it's a good warm up because a lot of those same people are in the 4th of July parade,
mm-hmm.
which has also been canceled. But you know, get your Idaho state flags and get those bad boys flying.
Show some state pride.
Yes.
There you go. All right. Jumping down to the bottom, Save Coalition here. Actually, this is coming out of the fire department. Let me pull that story up here real quick. You know what? I just pulled it up on our website. How about that, huh?
Do it.
That's probably a better idea anyway.
Do it.
All right. Finally, some refreshing news. Oh, I like that headline.
You like the headline?
That's good. Yep.
Tried to be creative there.
Okay. T-shirts for a good cause. Here we go. West Shoshone Firefighters. A group of 11 members of the West Shoshone Firefighters Local 2034 Union. They are all part of Shoshone County Fire District Number 2 out of Kellogg and surrounding areas. They got together and they wanted to do something that you know, helped out the community, a fundraiser of some type. And the union as a whole hasn't done one in a few years now. So with the limited manpower, with them not being on the whole shift, they wanted to do something but still not half-ass it and do something that was actually beneficial.
Yeah.
So they came together and they got this idea. They teamed up with College Hill. They create branded merchandise studio. That's what they're called.
Ooh.
They offered specialty T-shirt designs for certain apparel.
Yeah.
And they teamed up with them and they've created these cool little logo T-shirts that 100% of the profits that are sold here in the valley. Anywhere. I mean, you could be anywhere and buy these shirts. Will go toward the SAVE Coalition. SAVE stands for Support, Action, Volunteerism, and Education. While their main purpose is to kind of basically overall trend down the amount of suicides that happen in the Silver Valley, they're also there for anybody who is in a rough place, suffering from domestic violence, child abuse, or other tragic events. Great little group here in the community that's a total nonprofit that is here just to help people out that are in need. Basically, you can pop on from now until July 10th at 10 a.m. To www.collegehillcustomthreads.com. Go to Collections and Local 2034 Union. On there, you can purchase one of these shirts. All the funds will go toward the SAVE Coalition. And not only are you helping out the group, but you're also... Helping the local 2034 do something nice for the community.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're hoping to make this an annual tradition every year, and maybe do this for other groups that are in need.
Perfect.
Yep. Absolutely. Do we have any on the inside? I don't think so.
I don't think so, man. We did run the special with the Kellogg teachers.
Yes, we did. We just read those names out. Do you have those in front of you?
Kellogg School District recognized its Teacher and Employee of the Year. Teacher of the Year went to Miss Kelt Nienich.
Mm-hmm.
She's a English teacher, English language arts teacher at Kellogg High School.
Well deserved.
And the Employee of the Year went to Miss Darcy Ferland.
Okay.
Darcy runs the in-school suspension
mm-hmm.
classroom as well as, or at least she did when I was there. And she does help several kids with their senior projects.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, congratulations to them.
Yeah. Hey, we'll stop into Silver Light Tire and pick out your new Cooper tires during the summer promo rebate that is good until Monday, July 6th. So do that one quick. You only got a few more days. Yes. Receive up to $75 on select Cooper tires. All rebates are mail-in. Don't miss out. Stop in at 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg or call 208-784-1181 for more information on Silver Valley Tire.
Perfect. All right. So we're going to jump into our interview with... our highest grossing listenership interviewee ever. Simon Miller came in to chat with us once again, our tech guru. We had a good chat with him. So let's kick it on over to that.
Sweet.
This week's interview is brought to you by Prospect Fitness Studio. It's a great time to start working out because energy at Prospect Fitness is high, high, high. Check out Prospect Fitness Studio on social media or stop by the studio at 110 South Division Street in Kellogg for a workout treat. Put Prospect in your mouth hole.
And we are here with Simon Miller, Kellogg School District Technology Director Simon Miller. This is his second time coming in.
Episode leading.
Yes, yes. He is our most popular interview that we've ever had. And he came in again on a kind of a last minute deal for us. So thanks for coming in, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm happy that I was asked back. That's the best part for me.
Yes.
I was asked back. So just the being at towards the top of the listener is icing on the cake. I'm just happy that you wanted to have me here.
We had like three episodes there where it was like
neck and neck.
It was like you, Monica, and then Mitch Alexander.
Oh yeah,
and those three. I mean, those three were
the ace cars
for a long time, and even still, like.
It's only recently that you ran away with it. Like, you've had people that go back and listen to that episode.
Every week we get our updates from our host, and they're like...
That's interesting.
They put out, like, the most listens for that week. And so it's like our newest episode is always the top. And then we'll have, like, probably 15 to 20 in the next, like, the week before.
Mm-hmm.
But then yours has been like, Simon Miller, episode 30, got... 9 more listens.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, but this last week, 11 new plays.
Wow.
So someone went back.
Yeah.
And found.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's good.
That's actually kind of encouraging, though, because it's something, I mean, I think it speaks to your what you're doing. A podcast is what a lot of people, it's sort of their reading in a way, and sort of a radio station gap that's being filled. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so it's a testament to that, it's relevant, you know. There's just stuff that people just talk a lot about. Technology is usually in the middle of all of it. I've learned that in the last few years.
It's always a big topic here in the Valley too.
Tech talks about tech.
Yeah,
people really like. And you are you're the first, I mean, if it, technically by season we are, you are the first episode of mm-hmm. season two.
Oh, wow.
You're the season two. Over.
Are we launching season two right now?
This week.
Oh, God. It's incredible.
Technically speaking, yes.
Episode 53.
It's all kinds of exciting.
Yeah. So really
thanks
is.
For having me. It's fun coming up. So.
You thanks for coming in. As we mentioned, Simon is the tech coordinator for the Kellogg School District, which, you know, sounds like a pretty cool job in any other year other than 2020.
Yeah, for sure.
In 2020, Simon was tasked with, it was basically he came into work on a Monday, and if my memory serves me right, was told on Tuesday that he needed to have digital learning platforms basically ready to go by Wednesday night. Memory serves.
Hey, Simon, you know all those things that the kids do normally in those classrooms? Yeah, we need you to make sure that they can do all of that from home.
That's the truth. And I'll tell you guys, at first, I pushed back quite a bit in a productive way in our meetings. Our superintendent's just amazing. And the teamwork there was fantastic. But it was weird. I was sort of the let's not make this all about tech guy. I'm the director of technology, and I was the one saying, let's pump the brakes and make sure, you know, all of these things were coming to my mind, like equal access, you know, kids that don't have devices we had devices for every kid, but access to internet, or there are kids with accommodations that needed to be met legally, you know, and educationally. And, you know, those were the things that were coming to my mind. So the job became a really steep hill climb. and I like to work out. So, I mean, I still love my job. It was just, a different love for sure.
Yeah. It was, I have two kids, middle school and high school age. So they were, I mean, I'm sure as the focus goes, elementary school was probably not as...
Right.
You didn't have to deal with the elementary school as much, but for right. middle school and high school levels, I mean, I got to witness that firsthand.
Yeah.
Radley, my son, brought home a school-owned Chromebook.
Right, right.
Because he was the one person in our house who didn't have a device.
Right.
So, like, it was a big deal. He wouldn't have been able to do what he did without what you and your team basically put together. So
yeah, I think we were pretty, you know, the Chromebooks has been something that we've leaned on for a long time. And those really saved us because a Chromebook can go to different environments and we can still establish our requirements for, you know, student safety, online safety, their email, all that stuff it goes with what they could grab a different Chromebook. If they had one that didn't work, we just told them come in and get another one. Just right. At that point, we were going to sort it out later. And it wouldn't matter that somebody had a Chromebook they've never used before because that just loads your entire kind of profile. So those really did save us. And I'm a firm believer in them. And I'm really, well, you can't buy one right now.
Right.
We literally can't buy Chromebooks. Thankfully, we bought some before, right at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And they're any vendor you talk to now, they're out until December. So we're in good shape. I can't say I foresaw that, but typically at the end of the year, if we have any budget wiggle room, we'll refresh as many of those Chromebooks as we can. So we're in good shape.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess that kind of takes us right into... you know, one of my next questions here, what are some of the new tech items that are available, or not new, but just tech items that are available to people that can help them, whether it be work from home, learn from home, exist from home? What are some of the items that you would recommend?
Navigate this COVID world.
We learned really quickly, and this is just amazing. It's 2020 and... You know, toilet paper was an issue, right? Well, for us, for us in the tech world, it was webcams.
Okay.
You can't find a webcam on Amazon. They went from $40 for a pretty decent 720p or even 1080 webcam to $200, and you're not getting it for a month or so.
Right.
So that's a really, really simple tool. Of course, our laptops and our Chromebooks have a decent built-in webcam. A lot of people have PCs at home and they have a desktop that all of a sudden is becoming their primary computer where they're trying to work. And we had all these teachers saying, I don't have a webcam. And we handed out all that we had, you know, like to teachers. And right at the very beginning, so here's some other practical tools. And some of these are for teachers, but another one that I did was a little tripod. Because these are pretty awesome devices here. I'm holding my phone for the people. Obviously, people can't see it. These are pretty fantastic devices. These will do a lot. Now, I don't want to type an essay on this thing, but I've seen some pretty impressive work done from a phone. But you get yourself a tripod and, you know, your Zoom meeting becomes a lot more than, you know, holding it and moving it around. And so we gave teachers a tripod. And for those that wanted them, little simple USB, they call them a document camera. So it's basically like a phone or a webcam, I should say, on a mount like this. And so, you know, I find value in the analog. I think a teacher that can do a lesson that can draw and illustrate things that's super cool. That's how I learned.
Yeah.
So I said, just get one of these. And so, you know, your kids can make a YouTube video for them too. So there's all kinds of educational stuff. I don't want to get in the weeds too far on that, but you know, getting back to the practicality of your home network, when everybody started learning from home, of course, internet's going to be your bottleneck here in the Silver Valley for most people. But the other thing is the devices that you have, most people don't realize how many devices are on their Wi-Fi. I mean, kids are home, they've got phones, you've got laptops, you've got Chromebooks, you've got smart devices, you've got Dish DVRs, you've got Sling boxes, you've got thermostats, game systems. And where most people are struggling, that's where a Zoom meeting will get get dicey real quick. Mm-hmm. When someone's playing Fortnite in the room next door and your thermostat's checking in and you have a Ring. By the way, no one in the Silver Valley, unless you're on a JNR internet connection, should have a Ring doorbell. Those require a 3 meg upload, and that's like unicorn in the Silver Valleys. Yeah. Now,
so for those who are not familiar with those doorbells,
right?
They're basically, it's like a webcam. Like you ring them, and yep, instantly on your phone you can see who's, yes, at your door, and it like records it for you and, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. Very cool,
yeah,
thing. But you're right. I'm sure that takes a lot.
Yep. And so in an asynchronous world, those work okay because it'll record it and then it'll upload it. Slowly, but it'll upload it and you can go back and watch it.
Right.
Gotcha. In real time, FedEx comes and you're here and you wanted to know, you know, like he rings it and you want to go, hey, FedEx, just leave it on that two-way synchronous isn't going to happen on, gotcha, on that upload. Gotcha. So I see all the, on social media, I see people post that they're getting those and I just want to, I don't know if you want that unless you have a really good internet connection. Yeah. Now, there are some Ziply, try to call it Ziply now, I'm trying to get trained there. There are some Ziply connections throughout the valley that are on DSLAMs, which are little network distribution centers for neighborhoods, that are decent. You can get a pretty decent upload. JNR's upload's fantastic.
Yeah.
They'll give you 5 to 8 meg upload, and that'll feel like
Have you been able to get day. That yet up the gulch?
I have not.
How's the progress going on that? I'm sure COVID's knocked that.
Yeah. They've been focusing on just improving their coverage and doing installs in Kellogg and Wallace. And, you know, they may be involved. I don't know. We'll see. They may be involved in some other things with some COVID initiatives that get broadband into communities.
They
so.
Helped set up the places where people could go use the Wi-Fi in the parking lots.
Yeah, public Wi-Fi. Public We've got Wi-Fi some project. Of those set up. Yeah, they were really heavily involved in that.
Yeah, that was
were fantastic.
That was a great project.
Yep, yep. So, I mean, I kind of got off the trail a little bit there, some practical tools, but really it's just more a matter of the technology is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. We all have it. It's really using it wisely, but also knowing where those interferences and those things that will make it not work optimally is important.
Right.
A lot of people just say, my computer's slow. Well, it's probably not that.
I actually just got a Wi-Fi repeater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, it's been kind of a game changer for us.
Yeah. Like to spread your Wi-Fi out a little bit.
Yeah. So in my house where my router is, it's in the dining room. And then I have like 5 walls between my dining room and my bedroom. So like where my Amazon Fire Stick.
Right.
Just, I mean, it would work at night. And that's when we use it. We watch mm-hmm. Netflix at nighttime when we fall yep. asleep. But man, if one of the kids turns on their phone,
sure,
that connection gets weird, and I yep. can't upload or load an episode of The Office.
Yep.
But I put this repeater in my hallway, and it's not the full 20 that I get in my living room,
right?
But I get 8 or 9.
But it makes it more consistent.
Yeah.
Is what it does.
Yeah. And it gives me another network.
Yeah.
And it acts as another network.
So right.
it really is a useful tool, and they're relatively cheap.
Yep, I put mesh Wi-Fi towards the top of the list if we were talking about what you can do to improve network at your house. Of course, I would default, though, to if you can install Category 6 and put in some plugs, it's well worth it. If you've got a crawl space or if you've got an attic, man, it's gonna allow you to place more objects like that and have them wired and then repeating your network instead of using wireless mesh, which is they're using part of the wireless network to talk back and forth. I used to have a Google Wi-Fi, so it was those 3 little pods like mm-hmm. you're talking about, and I just recently upgraded and put in it's more prosumer level, but it's by Ubiquiti, and so Ubiquiti makes really, really good stuff. And it's not the easiest to install,
but once it's done,
it's rock solid. Yeah. And I'm using it like for some family point to points, from one house to the other. Got permission, of course, from my ISP. So, that was important when COVID hit. I had a couple teachers contact me. I don't have internet, but my neighbors do. And I thought, contact the ISP and just say, you know, we need internet and you we're too far from, you know, you don't reach us. And just say, we're going to share this connection. And it was encouraged all over sort of the tech stratosphere or ecosystem that, you know, ISPs, we know you don't encourage this, but at this time, people need connectivity.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, mesh networking's huge. It's a good thing.
What would you say some of your favorite items right now? Like, if you were to the COVID-19 technology survival starter pack, mm-hmm. what would you put in that?
Well, my phone's important to me, and what I really have appreciated is what we've learned doing live webcasting.
Oh yeah.
That, I know that's not an object, but that technology if you look at it from any level, from being stuck at home, graduation. You can watch graduation. You know, we did an online version of that. Possibly different in the future, concerts or being able to just connect with friends. So for me, it's more maybe not so much the collection of tools, but some of the technology that it's allowing. And I'm just really impressed by what people are doing with webcasting now. Mm-hmm. Just YouTube, Twitch, all these platforms where you can basically get any sort of feed you want. Now you got to, the flip side of that is you got to figure out what's real and what's not, or what's reliable. But that's been it for me, just kind of staying connected. And you know, we just had my grandpa's deal yesterday. Well, we curated pictures online, mm-hmm. and then I put those together and put a little music to it. And there's another little piece of technology that I think it's more just the collaboration that I think is important, yeah. than tools.
Perfect. That's and realistically, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. Our little live stream broadcasting this year might be more important than
yeah.
ever that
yeah.
we've developed
this. I agree. Tool,
because you know I think if school happens in some form or fashion, I would not be surprised if sports, high school sports, were still allowed to happen, but with just
right.
no fans.
Yeah.
No fans in the building. And
totally.
If no fans are in the building, camera and broadcaster might
yep.
become
yep.
the only way that you can check out your local sports, which could be kind of cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. So. It really manifested that way with graduation, right? Yeah. I mean, we went from, hey, we're doing these games, and, you know, we got a little pushback. We got some, hey, you're going to... If we only have 150 people at the game and 20 of them decide to stay home, you know, that's 20 people that would have paid. And we're like, that's real. But what if we grew that? What if we grew exposure to that and got more people to come to the games because they watched it online once and went, I need to go do that. You know, there's a little bit of trade off there. But then at the end of the year, it's like, hey, we really need you to broadcast.
Yeah. So it was almost a good thing that
skill had
been cultivated.
For sure. Yeah.
And I do think, you know, you said phones. People really underestimate what the technology that they carry around with them. If you have a phone that's been built in the last 2 years, realistically,
yeah.
You have almost as much ability as someone who has a laptop.
You do.
It's not as yep. convenient, but yep. I mean, it really is important.
Still gets the job done.
If I had to pick my COVID-19 technology starter pack, it would be my phone, my wireless headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say my laptop, but probably this specific one, because this one, mine, which is right in front of you, Simon, it had to go to the Apple store for cleanup under the keyboard, and they sent me a rental.
Yeah.
This rental was the worst. It was like the Apple version of a Chromebook. It was tiny. It was
right.
even smaller than that.
Yeah.
And it was the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have good...
Good laptop is important.
You know what so while you were saying that got me thinking more about my COVID-19, my pandemic survival kit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to it. I feel like I'm just repeating myself over and over, but it's important. I love my phone. I love, you know, good set of headphones as well.
Say wireless headphones now are almost becoming
so good. Yeah.
They're getting good and required because phones nowadays are phasing out the headphone jack.
Yeah. You know what I'm guilty. I used to Apple shame people that had AirPods sticking out of their ears. And I'm like on eBay or I mean Amazon the other day, like, mm-hmm. those look pretty convenient. Just leave one in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I might have to do that. But, my third thing would be if it's a phone or a laptop and the headphones, it's internet. It's connectivity.
Yeah.
When I go somewhere that has awesome connectivity, I'm like, I could do this. I miss people. I miss going out and seeing people. But I could still do this if I had a reliable connection that didn't go down, you know, once or twice a week, and that I could get as much internet as I wanted to buy.
Right.
We just went and visited my in-laws, and they live near Tacoma. Now they live in Puyallup, so just a little bit outside of Tacoma. They went from a 5 meg, like a cable connection, and it was good enough for them. Well, the lowest plan they could get from Xfinity in Puyallup was a 500 meg down plan. That's the lowest.
Probably cost them like $60.
Yeah, it's part of their TV, and you know they've got the bundle. And I visited there, and I was just like, oh man. I mean, I think I messaged Chance. I love where we live, but we've got to be able to we've got to figure this puzzle out, because we should be able to live here in this awesome area and also have good internet. I think we're moving towards that, but I didn't want to leave.
I would say first time incredible. Wanted to move in with your in-laws.
Yeah, like, hey, I'll, you know, I'm their tech support as well. You know, I'm sure they'd have me. They'd be just like built-in tech support. And,
no hold times.
I would just do speed tests. I would just open up a laptop, grab a coffee, and I would just go to fast.com and just watch it and go, this is at a home. How is this possible?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not even their fastest package. It's even funny, you
think, just the jump over to Coeur d'Alene. After a night out on the town with one of my friends, we went back to his house, like, last year. And he's like, do you want to play Madden? And I was like, sure. And he bought it off the PlayStation Store.
Downloaded it in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah.
Second.
Yep.
He clicked buy, and it was, like, ready to start download.
Yeah.
Download complete play. I have the same game, and it took me 6 hours just to get the download done. And I was like, this is like being punished.
Oh, it's a day-long thing. Like, if you need to update anything.
I have good internet. You are stuck in the black hole.
Yeah,
internet.
That's not great.
Aren't you in Smelterville, though?
Yeah.
I think J&R is close, man. I mean,
are they really?
Yeah, I mean, nice. I think they're really close.
Okay.
I know they're... I have Ziply, and they're supposed to upgrade, which is good,
because right.
As of right now, J&R can't get to my house,
right?
Which is super frustrating. So, you know, right now we're talking about internet. Let's talk about it. What city has the best internet right now? Where can you get the best internet in the valley if you...
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I would just go, just because of J&R, Wallace and Kellogg. If you have line of sight, that's good stuff. Now, I do have to say Ziply in some spots, it's unpredictable, but Ziply in some spots has some pretty decent, I don't even know if it's bonded DSL or what, but I've seen some business grade connections that are for some people I do work for that are really pretty good. I'm like, wow, if they could, you know, I saw that Ziply, that publication, and I thought, I hope maybe I'll listen to this. I hope that instead of focusing on gig fiber to the house, I hope that the more the focus is updating to the neighborhoods to where those houses, man, I'd be happy with 100 meg. That's 1/10 of what they're saying they can deliver. I'd rather a neighborhood or multiple neighborhoods benefit from a sort of a backbone upgrade, you know, core equipment upgrade than Josh lives here and that's where we're going to do this. They call it that wrapping the fiber on the aerial, you know, that allows them to do things much quicker.
So
Josh gets it, but everyone else is...
But the house right next
right.
to it, it's cut down.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, one of the things that when I talked to Ziply after they put that out, because I think I followed a Twitter thread that you had talking about it, where you basically long-wind what you just said.
Yep.
And he had said that what they plan on doing will... result in even the places that aren't part of, because Kellogg really is the focal point, because it's like a grant that's centered on Kellogg, but the surrounding areas that get Ziply will benefit from just
some of the upgrades that they do,
network being stronger and more reliable.
That's true.
And so I mean, it sounds like somewhere along the lines they're thinking along the same line.
I hope so.
I would
put Kellogg Wallace, and then where you can get good Ziply right now, Pinehurst really has some spots depending on where you're at. ironically, my coworker, he can't get the faster connection, but his parents can. The funny part is they don't want or feel like they need the faster one. So he's like, oh, just you know, if, just get it and I'll come use it or whatever. But so it just depends on where you live there. I'd like to see Suddenlink continue to, you know, they bumped up their capacity and I was doubtful that that was going to be as fast as advertised. The good news is it is. I'm getting 30 meg. It works when it's up.
When it works.
And I'll tell you what I'm going to try next is I'm going to try to call and say, hey, I'd like, I have a connection in my house. I'd like a second connection. My wife would like a second connection. I'll get a load balancing router and, you know, hopefully somewhere around 60 meg and five up there if it go. Works properly.
Sweet.
I know a few people that are doing that already. So I'm going to try to look into that. I'm willing to try anything. But that's my COVID tool pack right there. You got to have internet.
Yeah.
You just really do.
Okay. Last question. What have you been doing to pass your time since we've been, I mean, we're out and about a little bit more right now.
Yeah.
But as this second wave is kind of hitting or whatever we're not calling it the second wave.
Right.
This spike.
Yeah. It's just,
people are going,
we back. Opened up, people are getting out. Yeah.
Getting a little bit more reserved. So now people are starting to stay home a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I know some conversations we had, you were doing pretty good about keeping yourself at home early on.
Yeah.
What were you doing to pass time?
Well, the cool part is that's a great time to learn a new skill or to, you know, I have plenty, like I haven't listened to this podcast. I'm confessing here. I haven't listened to this podcast as much as I want to, because I have all sorts of different podcasts I've been listening to on different topics. And I'll do that when I'm running or when I'm driving or just at home. But I think, the best thing I've been able to do from home is just learn, take advantage and learn some new skills, whether it be doing a little bit of coding just to kind of get the brain muscle working a little bit, or learning, trying to learn more to better help teachers at school. For example, distance learning isn't just a computer at home. It's a different style of instruction. It's a different style of workflow. So really just kind of learning, at your own pace, just kind of staying home. And I have been able to get to the office, and of course the positive there is we have very few people in my office, so it's not a high exposure, but it also has a rock solid internet,
right?
So I've been actually getting into the office, and then we just had to, these last 2 weeks we've had to go to each school and physically wipe down all of the devices and digitally wipe them so they're like brand new, so it's like double wipe. And get those ready for that. Right now we're in our tax season, you know, for the busy part of for a tax person. This is our getting out ahead of what's coming in the fall.
Sure.
So yeah, just, I would just say learning most of all. I mean, it hasn't been sports, right? No sports to watch except golf has kind of come back a little bit, but
UFC came back.
UFC. Yeah.
I've watched a lot of UFC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gearing up for a hopeful NBA.
Yeah, a lot of Netflix for me. You know, watching a lot of Netflix, rewatching The Office.
Did you watch Tiger King?
Watch Tiger King. Yep.
That's pure madness. That's, I think I've asked every single person I've talked to that question. Did you watch Tiger
King? Okay, so if you've watched Tiger King, you need to watch Wild Wild Country.
The Rajneesh.
Yes. Have you watched that?
Yes.
Okay, that, because those are like equal, like just watching, going, are you kidding me? And kind of.
That one is a little closer to home.
Yes,
for it us. Is.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that one is a
very interesting.
Yes, perfect. Hey, well, again, Simon, thanks for coming in, man. We really appreciate it, especially last minute. I know
yeah, no problem.
We literally
it's fun.
Are existing in the most inconvenient time in the world.
That's okay.
And you dropping and coming in is big for us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. Thanks for having me back. Let's do it again.
Oh, we'll have you again.
Have you again. If you're looking for fine furnishings, flooring, and appliances for your home, please visit Twin City Furniture. Owner Mike Pierce has been serving the Silver Valley for decades. At Twin City Furniture, you'll always find quality furniture at an affordable price and friendly and reliable service. Stop in and see Mike at 110 McKinley Avenue in Uptown Kellogg.
All right.
Regional headlines.
Moving into regionals.
We do like regional headlines.
We certainly do.
Always a good time.
I do. All right. First one coming out of the Bonner County Daily Bee, written by no one. Just kidding. I'm sure somebody wrote it, but no byline on this one. Injured arborist rescued from tree. Selkirk Fire Rescue and EMS helped rescue an arborist from the top of a tree after the individual was injured on Saturday. Selkirk Fire's technical rescue team was called to the scene by Bonner County EMS to assist with the rescue of the injured arborist who was 60 feet in the top of a tree. The fire department posted on its Facebook page, quote, Selkirk Fire would like to thank BCEMS, Life Flight Network, Two Bear Air, Bonner Country? Sheriff Marine? That's probably not right. Bonner County, Sheriff Marine 5, Timberlake Fire, and all the Lakeview community for an incredible team effort to extract the man from a tree after a portion of its severely injured him. Department officials posted the patient was transported by Life Flight E83 to Kootenai Health, where he was met in the emergency department by a specialized trauma service team.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Headline coming out of Coeur d'Alene, Swiftwater Eddies Underwater Drop-Off, a Dangerous Combination at Corbin Park. This is by Devin Weeks. So most people know that we had two drowning deaths at Corbin Park over
in... Yeah, big regional headline there.
In Post Falls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Corbin Park, right between Post Falls and State Line.
Right. And it is a, I mean, it's a real cool place right along the Spokane River there. There's a little bit of everything, fishing. I believe there's frisbee golf that happens there. Like, I mean, it's just one of those places. It's really nice to recreate. But the water itself is just not necessarily one of those places that you should be in the water at.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of
found that out. It is a dangerous, I grew up there, grew up fishing that spot. It can be treacherous. Like right. you,
it's one of those areas where it's lifeguard or not lifeguard, life jacket or don't go.
Yeah, essentially it's the water there is, especially if the dam is open, that water just whips.
Right. So both fatalities that happened over the weekend, involved kayaks. Mm-hmm. Both victims were not wearing life jackets. The Kootenai County Sheriff's Office has received two other calls earlier this year when people were swept into the eddies. Will you look up what an eddy is real quick so we can tell
people? It's a swirling pool of water, so not like in the middle of a river.
Like a whirlpool, but in a
essentially,
river?
Essentially, yeah.
A river whirlpool?
Mm-hmm.
In the past decade, six people have died there. So obviously a high concentration this last weekend, but six people in the last decade, that's for a place called a park, you know, you gotta be pretty careful.
It is, just because of the natural area, it is very dangerous.
There are signs posted around the perimeter that say enter at your own risk. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean, that people really, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
The funny quote here from the director of Post Falls Parks and Recreation, David Fair, we have told people for years it's hazardous. I have told my kids don't swim in there, but I've told them that about all rivers,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because we swim in the rivers around here just like fish, like that's our thing. It was explained that the water flow is controlled by the Post Falls Dam, like you said, which generates power for Avista Utilities. The water is regulated by federal and state laws based on an agreement with the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. Waters from the St. Joe and Coeur d'Alene Rivers, in addition to rainwater and spring runoff, contribute to how much water flows in the Spokane River. In the springtime, that can push up to 40,000 cubic feet of water per second out of the dam. Mm. It's just right. One of those things. It's just very, very, very...
There's signs there. They already do more than... Like, you should already have common sense not to go in this water. Like, it is so fast moving.
Well, and the eddy is caused by that, there's the rock that's underneath, and then it just drops. There's like a 30-foot drop-off where the bottom of the riverbed just drops 30 feet.
It's a good fishing spot.
And but... So when that water drops, it goes somewhere, kind of like when you, if you're in a bathtub or a pool and you push your hand straight down,
mm-hmm.
and what happens is everything swirls above it for even just a second, but that's constantly happening.
Yep.
So it's one of those things, really, familiar with it. If you're not... wearing a life jacket, stay off the Spokane River. I mean, it's a treacherous stretch of river to begin
even
with.
Even in the slow parts, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people floaters.
Like popular swimming spots in Post Falls, like One Way, that's right below the dam, literally mm-hmm. right below the dam. It seems like it's a popular swimming spot, but we've lost people there too.
So. Right. You know, if you really need to go swim in Coeur d'Alene Lake.
There you go.
There's a spot for everyone.
There you go.
So,
All right. Jumping over to...
We got another ad.
Oh, we got another ad.
Ad time. The Route of the Hiawatha and Lookout Pass are now hiring summer positions. Bike renters, guest service cashiers, trail marshals, vehicle mechanics, and bus drivers. You can apply online or in person. Call them at 208-744-1301 or email jobs@skilookout.com. Lookout Pass is an equal opportunity employer.
Love it. Love it. Got to go up there again.
Yeah.
I haven't been up there this year. That's pretty fun. Always something I want to do. Okay. Coming out of the... Ooh, this one we don't normally... This is cool. Clark Fork Valley Press, Mineral Independent, Campsite Fugitive, Back in Court in Flathead County.
Yeah.
This is by Scott Schindeldecker.
Mr. Schindeldecker.
From the Daily Interlake. When a Western Montana man went missing from a campsite in Sanders County on Memorial Day, there was considerable reaction from the social media community. Some commenters didn't believe enough was being done by local law enforcement officers to find the man, but it turned out that the man was a convicted rapist from Flathead County who has served felony convictions and a criminal past which dates back more than 30 years. James Todd Whitmarsh, 51, was reported missing from a campsite on the morning of Monday, May 25th, near the mouth of the Thompson River near Montana 200. The next day, the Sanders County Sheriff's Office reported his disappearance on its Facebook page. Whitmarsh had pled guilty to raping a 14-year-old girl in Flathead County in 2006. He received 18-year sentence with 9 suspended to the Montana State Prison. He wasn't parole eligible for 5 years, but he did complete 6 sex offender treatment. Whitmarsh was paroled in 2011 and lived in Missoula. Part of the conditions of his parole were he had to get permission from his probation and parole officer if he wanted to leave the Missoula area. On Friday, May 22nd, Whitmarsh refused to respond to phone calls and messages from his parole officer. 3 days later, he was reported missing, and on May 31st, he checked into a motel in Spokane, according to court documents. Whitmarsh didn't have permission to leave Missoula, and it was just one of the reasons he was back in Flathead District Court Thursday afternoon for a revocation hearing. According to court filings by the parole officer, on March 7th, Whitmarsh tested positive for ingesting methamphetamine. Oof. He also failed to take mandatory drug tests on 3 separate occasions in May, just days before he went missing. It resulted in Whitmarsh being removed from the treatment program he was supposed to be involved in. Then he was fired on June 3rd for not showing up at work at a local business in Missoula soon after he was booked in the Missoula County Jail. When District Judge Robert Allison asked Whitmarsh and his attorney Lane Bennett how he wished to address the allegations of violating his parole, the response was general denials. Quote, Bennett did ask the judge to delay his hearing because Whitmarsh was entering drug rehabilitation. Allison granted the request, and the hearing was scheduled for August 27th. Whitmarsh also had 3 DUI convictions dating as far back as 1989. A 2005 DUI charge against Whitmarsh was dismissed in exchange for him pleading guilty to the 2006 rape charge. Jeez. This guy's a piece of work.
So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, at what point do you just go like, you know what? I think I'm just going to be a bad person.
Yeah.
Because if you're getting in that
much trouble. I love how they weren't working hard to find him. They're like, yeah, we'll get around to it.
Well, I mean, there's nothing I like more than a rapist on meth,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he already is prone to bad decisions. Yeah. Let's add meth into the mix.
Perfect.
Good Lord. So we're going to combine a couple stories here for some regional headlines. Harrison, Spirit Lake, and Sandpoint. All moving forward with their 4th of July celebrations. A lot of people know that a lot of 4th of July celebrations, the bigger ones in the area, have been canceled. Places like Bayview, who historically have had a spectacular fireworks show. Coeur d'Alene and Spokane all canceled their big 4th of July events. But Harrison, Spirit Lake, and Sandpoint are going to... and Bonner's Ferry canceled theirs as well. In fact, that one... Whole other story, but the 3 that are going on outside of Kellogg will have a fireworks show, but Harrison and Spirit Lake, along with Sandpoint, will all have them. Harrison and Spirit Lake maintain plans to hold 4th of July celebrations. It's still a go. Amanda Reinhart, North Idaho Travel Alliance representative with the Harrison Chamber of Commerce, said on Friday, we've got music in the park and a relaxed day. There will be some food vendors set up. The event, hosted by the Harrison Chamber of Commerce, will have, some yard games and vendors from noon till about 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then live music going on from 3 to 7 p.m. And then fireworks at dusk, so probably right around 9:30. Spirit Lake is moving forward with their 25th annual parade and park, but will not have a fireworks show. So it's funny, they're actually going to have the events that are less social distancing than the fireworks. They were worried about the influx of people that would come if they had fireworks. So literally taking the exact opposite stance as what Kellogg is doing. The parade starts at 11 a.m. and let's see. And it ends in the park, and then there's just vendors there. Up in Sandpoint, Sandpoint's 4th of July celebration was almost canceled, but they got their permit, and the parade's going to kick off at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and then festivities are going to be held at Travers Park from noon until 5. And then the fireworks display over Lake Ponderay will start at 10 p.m. They're saying that this show might be one of the best shows they've ever had. Historically, they've spent about $16,000 on fireworks. This year, one donor gave them $16,000, and then they collected more donations. So they're looking at like one of their biggest firework shows that they've ever had. They really were kind of excited. They jumped through a lot of hoops to pull this one off. City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton said the pandemic has affected the event planning across the board. Her direct quote, "It's been a challenge for the city in balancing both our events and those opportunities for social gatherings, as well as the vitality of our community and the economic development support that those bring in." The city is requiring a COVID-19 liability waiver when public facilities are used. So that's an interesting little tidbit there. I think there's a few local events here that in Kellogg that could benefit from the use of a COVID-19 liability waiver, but yep. I could just be crazy.
sounds like
no shame in my game.
Oh, okay.
No right. shame. No Fair shame enough. At all.
Okay.
So that's going to do it for our regional headlines, right?
That's it. That's my all we got. Atlanta.
We had a great episode today. I think it was fun with Monica early on, and then she had to leave, and then
traded one Miller for another.
Yeah, we traded one Miller for another, both related. It was Miller time today.
It was Miller time. There we go. if we titled episodes, Miller time. There it is.
Yeah. Well, once again, we'd like to thank Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty for sponsoring today's episode or this week's episode. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low, and Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who is well connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. Contact Julie Zook at 208-659-1764. She is your best friend in real estate.
Perfect. All right, everybody, thanks for listening in. We really appreciate it. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff on social media. If you're interested in any of the stories that we talked about, you can find them all at shoshonenewspress.com or the various websites we talked about for regionals. If you listen in on a podcatcher of some kind, please subscribe to us and leave a nice review. We really appreciate that. Any comments, questions, concerns, you can always get a hold of us by calling our office at 208-752-1120 or messaging us on Facebook, or emailing us, or writing us a letter, or
a letter,
faxing us.
Oh, a nice facsimile.
We could get a fax.
Nice facsimile. We love those.
Carrier pigeon, I suppose. If that's how you roll, I don't. You know, whatever.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But don't leave us anything nasty.
Nope.
Otherwise, we're just going to throw it away.
Nope. Pretty much. That's how we go. Yep. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you next week.
Bye bye.